if someone's ever given you one of those monthly subscription gifts where you get the chocolate of the month, or this is a real one, the socks of the month club, every month you're like, oh, that's a fun little gift, and it reminds you that they were thinking of you. Well, buckle up, Buttercup. We're about to take subscription services to a whole new level. It's the Chicken of the Month Club. That's right. You can join me and other potties and WayFM listeners at fh.org/Wally Show and give two chickens to a different family every month. Now, chickens in these developing countries make a huge difference in the lives of these families. These chickens provide a sustainable source of protein through their eggs every day, which helps nourish malnourished kids. And since chickens multiply quickly, it's a great side hustle for these families in that they can generate income by selling eggs or chicks in the market. And by you doing a $28 a month gift, you can make sure that a different family gets two chickens every month. That's kind of cool and very different. If someone gave me two chickens every month, I wouldn't know what to do with that. But in these other countries, they not only know what to do with them, they're also very thankful for people thinking of them and helping them out of these tough times. So what I love about Food for the Hungry is their mission to end poverty by going to the places and walking with some of the world's most vulnerable people, and they've done it for 50 years. You can trust them and you can do some good right now. So go to fh.org/Wally Show if you want to join our Chicken of the Month Club.
Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. Yeah. I think I'm going to do it because this is the sixth time Wally's tried to start the Aftercast. So here we are. Welcome
today.
To it.
Well, we were starting the Aftercast and then Betty Rock stopped it and said something, and then that threw me off and then I couldn't get back in. So yes, it is Aftercast time, stuff we didn't get to during the course of the show, including a serious, like, heavy conversation and story that took place, and I wanted to talk about it here. The U.S. elite gymnastics team, Simone Biles, Michaela Maroney, Maggie Nichols, and Allie Raisman, they were testifying before Congress about what they say were failures in the FBI's handling of the case against Larry Nassar that involved them, you know, and he is the doctor, the team doctor, the Olympic doctor that assaulted them for years as young girls.
And I think I would agree with this statement because it went on for years, right? Like, I mean, you would think if someone's doing their job, that wouldn't have happened.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, he was sentenced in 2018 to 175 years in prison. And so on some level, you think, okay, well, justice was served, you know, you got what you wanted, not what you wanted, what he deserved, actually, because saying you got what you wanted seems like they're being vindictive. That is not what I'm saying at all. There was justice served for his crimes for them, but their point is that's the tip of the iceberg. Like, that's the part you saw, but the part you didn't see was them for years pleading with people to listen to them in the organization, pleading with the FBI to interview them and to do something to stop this. And they're saying that the FBI was basically culpable in what happened because they failed to take their claims serious. I can imagine, like, that would be beyond frustrating if you're them and you finally have the courage, because it takes courage to come out with this stuff, man. A, they're young girls. B, their career is tied to this. And C, there is a culture of not believing the victim, and especially in cases like this. And there's a great deal of fear that would come from that. So that's brave to do this, but then to have it fall on deaf ears would be frustrating.
Very frustrating. And also, you know, you have your career in front of you. You don't want to jeopardize that. And also, for some reason, and of course, thankfully, none of us can speak into this, but the victim sometimes takes on the guilt of what was happening to them.
Sadly.
They say that maybe I caused it, you know, and maybe that's something that they were dealing with too. And it's hard for us to understand because we've never been in it, thankfully, but that might have been something that they were dealing with too. Didn't want to be blamed for it.
Hard to believe.
Right.
Like, that victim mentality that they would, even as young girls, think, well, what did I do? And but that psychologically has been proven time and time and time again that that does happen. Simone Biles had said, "We have been failed. We deserve answers." She was kind of fighting back tears during her testimony. She said, "Nassar is where he belongs, but those who enabled him deserve to be held accountable. If they are not, I'm convinced this will continue to happen in other sports across the Olympics." And I think she's absolutely right about this. Over the past few years, it's become painfully clear how survivors healing is affected by the handling of their abuse, and it disgusts me that we are still fighting for the most basic answers and accountability 6 years later, Allie Raisman said. She said it took 14 months for them to contact her despite her request to be interviewed by them. And she then said, I felt pressure by the FBI to consent to Nassar's plea deal. The agent seemed to be diminishing the significance of my abuse and made me feel that a criminal case wasn't worth pursuing.
Oof.
That is crazy. And maybe this is a person that is jaded by the system and goes, look, you can do it, but it's going to drag you. And, you know, you never know motives. And it could have been like, look, you're going to go through a lot. It's going to be horrible for you. At the end, you might not get what you want or he deserves because I know the system. It's flawed. It's broken.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or he could have just been callous, you know, and callous with their feelings and emotions too. But all of that to say, it's a mess. But standing before Congress, Allie Raisman said to the senators, today, I ask you to hear my voice. I ask you, please do all that is in your power to ensure that these individuals are held responsible and accountable for ignoring my initial report, for lying about my initial report, and covering up for a child molester.
Mm.
Like, that's heavy.
Ooh, those are some strong accusations.
Heavy. And she looked so great. Like, she, when she was on the panel there, just poised, you know, and strong and confident and stuff. And I'm sure inside she was probably a nervous wreck mess, mm-hmm. maybe even more so than when she did her Olympic stuff. But she came across really, really well. Mm-hmm. And you had to. She had to find another gear of strength in the midst of that to have her message heard. And because a lot of times delivering your message is just as vital as the message, because you can deliver it horribly and deliver it wrong and have it not have an impact,
or, you know, worry about starting to cry and then you can't gather your thoughts again and then you look ridiculous. So it's just like it's hard, man. And I can imagine that would be very intimidating in front of all those people just staring there and watching and waiting for you to speak.
And you're sharing one of the most horrific things of your life and very personal and mm-hmm. details and the pain, like, and having to relive it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so kudos to all of them who stood up, said something, you know, see something, say something. You know, I know mm-hmm. that was a 9/11 thing. Do you know that came out of 9/11? See something, say something. I don't know if you guys realize that or not, but that kind of slogan started there, and it's been attributed to other things since then. But I just, you know, I think that hopefully there will be some changes for these girls, and they'll get eventually at least the peace, you know, because they're never going to get back what was taken from them, obviously. But at least if they can come to terms with it and have some peace inside of it so that they can move forward in their lives and have healthy relationships, because they're all so young, you know?
Right.
And so anyway, here's some more good news. The flying car is back on the table. Yes, out of China.
Why was it ever off the table?
Well, I think there are a lot of people that think it's not practical.
Well, and also look at what we've done with the cars that are supposed to drive themselves.
Tesla.
We should not be held, we can't be responsible on these things.
I agree. I mean, there's part of me that I've wanted a flying car my whole life. I just think it'd be so great. But when Teslas keep running into stuff, you know, you can't, and if you're running into stuff in the air or falling out of the air, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see how we're ever going to get to that point. But then again, we never thought we'd get to the point of flying across the country in jets either. So, but there's a startup flying car company that says they would start delivering cars to customers as early as 2024.
Oh, my goodness.
Two years from now.
2022 is basically what, 3 months away?
Yeah. And they think they can do this. They were founded in 2013. They have 400 people that started it. They now have 700 people working for them, and they think that they're going to make this happen. But there's so many other things that have to happen with the FCC and all the other things, and the FAA and all mm-hmm. that stuff to make it possible.
What was the company called?
Oh, it's vehicle maker XPeng. It's like XPeng.
Let's see if I can get in early.
Oh, yeah, really? You gonna buy some stock, Gavin?
Yeah, sure.
I got $10.
Like, can you imagine trying to get your driver's license? And it's like, are you gonna take the air version or the land
That's
version?
Funny.
Yeah.
And then how do you do roadways up there? Like, where's the stop sign? Where's the blinkers?
I mean, it's the same thing with airlines. You know, like, airlines only at The way they do it is going certain directions, you have certain flight levels that you stay at, windows, because you can't, because that way you don't run into each other.
But people go to school for that.
I know. The only way this works, though, on a large scale is if it's automated. Like, we just sent four astronauts that aren't professional astronauts into space. Mm-hmm. The automation is the only thing that makes this work.
I can only see this working if it's kind of like a taxi situation.
Right.
So certain people are trained, like that's their job to do these taxi services where it is all air or whatever, but it's not for every individual.
I wonder if it starts there. But I contend that before we get to flying cars, we have to have 90% of the cars on the road today being autonomous.
Yeah, without crashing, without any of the accidents that we see all the time.
Right. You have to be able to sit in the back seat of your car and do nothing.
Take a nap.
And go for a couple years with no one dying before the flying car is even remotely possible. But boy, I'd love to. I hope sometime before I die, I get to own a flying car.
Just before we started this, we were talking about Formula One. Imagine Formula One, but like in the air.
Oh, I know.
Just flying.
That'd be crazy.
I would love to see that.
Flying is such a hard, because you got four axes you're dealing with, you know? And so if you've ever like just flown like a drone, it's definitely more squirrely. So I can't even imagine. Like, people get drones and they're like, oh, this is great. And they take it out of the box, they put it up, and they fly it right into a tree. You know, like, I could see that happening with the, I got a flying car, and poof, right into a tree. Like, it's just not practical.
Yeah.
But maybe someday. Lady Rock, what do you got?
Well, we talked about yesterday that comedian and actor Norm Macdonald passed away from a decade-long secret struggle with cancer. And while it took the world by surprise about his death because no one knew about his fighting for his life, it turns out that in an interview a few years back, that's exactly how he wanted it. So during a podcast interview a few years back, he started to share his thoughts on what he thinks of those fighting cancer that choose to share their struggle with friends, family, and fans.
All you're doing is just garnering sympathy for yourself. How's that brave? It seems cowardly. It seems much braver to me. You know, you're not being a burden to your family. You know, they know nothing about it. And then you're gone.
That's interesting. Like that's an interesting take.
But your family, though?
Well, and after that statement, he continued with this.
And if I had a specific ailment, and possibly I do, you don't know, but I would not talk about it.
Interesting. A hint.
So he did exactly what he said he would.
It is interesting that in essence he's calling himself a hero. Like the people that don't talk about it, they're kind of the heroes. And so he knows he has it. So he's kind of saying, I'm doing the right thing. I disagree with him saying that I think he used the word cowardly or whatever, and that you're garnering sympathy. I think that when you're going through cancer, and I've had loved ones go through cancer and health scares and stuff like that, I think that's really a difficult thing, and letting people in your life know so that they can help you and be there for you. And sometimes you need support, or sometimes you need physical help. And so I don't think it's cowardly by any stretch of the imagination. Now, if you're a celebrity and going out and letting everybody know and your fans know and stuff like that, I mean, like, okay, whatever. I'm not a celebrity. I can't speak
to
that.
And maybe that's what he was referring to, is other celebrities. I don't know. But, you know, I wonder what he thought about the Jeopardy guy.
Oh, yeah, Alex Trebek. And he used his for good. You know, he raised a bunch of money for the Cancer Association and
but was he trying to gain sympathy?
No, I don't see that. But again, no, as a jaded comedian, I see Norm's perspective 100%. Like, I could see myself saying something not quite as dumb as that, like, and as harsh as that on the critical side. I could see saying something to the side of supporting what I believe more so, and that's kind of what he was doing, but he just he negative sold the other side, I think, too much. So I see where he's coming from, but yeah, I definitely don't agree with him.
Well, and I think that there were some close friends and family that admitted to the news sources that he didn't want people to act different around him, treat him differently.
I get that.
Or for his diagnosis to taint any of the work that he's done or was doing for those 10 years. So I get that. And I've seen where, you know, people in my life who have fought cancer, how they've done it both ways. I've seen where one has kept it under wraps and where one has not. And so I think it's just a personal, it's up to you. It's if you need that, if you need that support, sure. I don't think that's wrong.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to burden other people with it personally. Like I would try to tell the people that if what I was dealing with affected them, like, okay, so like, hey man, I'm going to have to miss, you know, 3 days a week because I got to do this. That affects you guys. Then mm-hmm. I would tell you, you know, mm-hmm. and so you would know and you could plan accordingly. Mm-hmm. But I would never tell people for the point of, oh, I need emotional support other than like the very closest in my circle, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. But then again, I mean, I do this for a living. I probably, you know what? I probably would talk about it though. You know, I'd probably be like, all right. God finally got me for all the dumb things I've said, like all the jokes I've made over my life about cancer or something, just to try to be funny, you know, because like...
You have a very odd way of looking at God.
I know, I do.
But I mean, it's not something that I don't think a lot of us struggle with. Maybe they differently, but yeah. You know, it's almost like you say things so that he has a reason to smite you.
Yeah, because then I at least have an explanation for it. Oh, I deserve this. Yeah, God, you, I get you. I see you.
Okay,
I feel you. I know I own
because
this.
Because if you didn't do anything, right. If you lived your life well,
right,
and then you still got smited,
yeah,
then what?
How do I process that?
Oh, yeah. So it's kind of like a control thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this way, I'm like calling my own shot. Like, I get it. I knew you were going to get through this eventually.
I called it.
Exactly.
Wow. We have learned something about Wally today.
All right. Well, let's do some birthdays.
All right. So we've got a few. Let's see. We've got Cayenne, who wants to wish her dad, Eric, a happy birthday. It was yesterday.
Nice.
Said, he's the best dad, husband to my mom, pastor, and teacher I could have ever hoped for. We both love pumpkin-flavored things, nice. Car, TV shows, and Switchfoot.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Let's see. Yesterday was Mandy's birthday. Happy birthday, Mandy. When it says anything we should know about you, she put, I'm amazing. LOL. she said, I can't think of a question, but just wanted to share that I really appreciate your show. I don't always agree with everything, but that's okay. We can't all agree on everything. Thanks for all you do.
I agree with not agreeing, because if we all agree, it'd be kind of boring. For me, the disagreement, it's in how it's done. And if it's handled respectfully with people, and potties are the best at that. I will get emails from potties that are like, hey, I love the podcast, listen to it every day. My thoughts on this, or I don't really agree with you on this, but here's why. I have zero problem with that. And I respond to that and stuff like that. The ones that get me are the ones that are like, okay, I'm never listening to your station again. I'm pulling my support, and I don't even believe you're a Christian, you know, like that. And it's over things that have nothing to do with faith that I've said, you know, mm-hmm. and they go nuts. Like that lady about vaccines, and she was like, you call yourself a believer? Ugh, Maria.
You won't remember one good person that yeah. says anything good, but you'll remember Maria till the day you die.
Unless it's Guillermo.
I remember Guillermo. And I remember the guy at the barbecue place in Memphis or in
that
Blue
didn't
Ridge.
Get your...
That didn't serve us, served everybody else but us, and then had the audacity to tell me that, hey, we're not like McDonald's. We do this like... I'm like, yeah, you're not like McDonald's. McDonald's started out like you, too, but they got their act together, and then they made something of themselves.
Did you say that?
That's why they're a chain.
Yeah, I know. I'm still angry. I'm still angry about that guy.
What was his name?
I don't remember. I was too blinded. I couldn't see his name tag.
That's probably a good thing.
Because he's, but again, and I was like, well, these people came in like way after us, and he's like, well, there's four of them. I'm like, one, two, three. I go, dude, there's four of us, and we ordered the same thing. Like, how is this even making the words you're saying? Okay. How are they making sense?
I see
sense?
How this is tainting your day.
I know. See,
and you don't need to let that happen. That
guy. Okay? Do you want some candy corn?
Once, at least.
Let's
once.
Let's move on. How did we get here?
At least once a week, I think about that guy.
Oh my gosh.
I have to go back there, and I have to somehow make peace with.
Okay,
this.
Okay, name us one person that did treat you right recently.
One person that did treat me
like
right.
Maybe not it was in this customer room. Service.
Yeah, there's
or...
no one here.
Come on.
Someone stole my sodas that Gavin gave me. That was Gavin
that's
being
a
good,
negative.
But someone stole
that's a
them.
Negative. That's a let's move on. Did you go to a store somewhere and they were like, thank you, sir, for going above and beyond and
you liked,
really understanding.
You always say that the guys at the bike shop are like
yeah.
pretty nice.
Yeah, the Moab guys are great. Yeah, the Moab guys are really
couldn't
great.
Couldn't recall their names or anything. But Maria.
Maria. Yeah.
Never forget.
Yeah. All right, well, let's do some birthday questions.
All right, Nicole, today is her sister Hannah's birthday. Happy birthday, Hannah. Said Hannah loves her job, is in the Air National Guard.
Oh, very
cool.
Nice.
Is a black belt in Taekwondo.
Nice.
Loves all things Marvel, Star Wars, nice. Harry Potter, and Lego.
Love it.
She's really smart and funny and has a meme for every occasion. Love that. Question is, what is your funniest childhood memory? Not funnest, but funniest.
Mm. Oh, okay. That's tougher. Do you got one, Rob?
Yes. Mine is the fact that we had family in Arkansas and Louisiana, and I would say growing up, we probably went twice a year to see everyone. It took us 6 hours to get to Arkansas, 10 to get to Louisiana. And I remember one trip. My parents didn't have a lot of money with me growing up, but we had a truck and it had a little camper top thing on the back. And my parents threw a twin mattress back there and some chips and some crackers and some books.
For the dog?
For me.
Oh.
And I loved it.
Oh, sure.
And I remember my dad telling me, if you see a cop, hunker down.
Lay down. Yeah. Lay down. Don't move, Betty Lou.
But it was so much fun because we had that like window that you can slide, yep. you know, in yep. the cab. And I would slide back there and be like, hey guys, what are y'all doing?
I could see that. I could see you loving that. As a kid, I would have loved that too,
so
man.
So much fun.
Riding in the back of the truck as a kid was the best. Like we used to do that all the time when I was young. And then now they make you bubble wrap your child and put seatbelts on them and put them in car seats. And when I was a kid, none of that. Like maybe a car seat. I think I probably had a car seat.
And we see the recup.
Yeah.
Uh oh. What? We see the.
Did someone hit their head in the back of that truck?
Maybe. There's a good chance that did happen. There was no seatbelt.
There was carbon monoxide. The exhaust. They had the exhaust tubes going
fine.
Back in the camper.
She's
concussions.
Fine.
But Danny Ray, she keeps tipping over. She's fine. She's fine, Robin. She's going to be fine.
That's where she got bit by the rabid raccoon.
You know what,
fine.
Robin? You made a cute one. She don't need all them brain cells. She's going to be fine. Gavin, what about you?
No, I was just trying to think of like funniest stuff. I was thinking back to the days when we legitimately thought cooties were real.
Mm.
So,
what'd you do to make sure you didn't get them?
Well, there was one girl, I think in kindergarten, who would always make a kissy face at me.
Ugh.
Wonder where she is now.
I don't know.
I got some guesses.
But I had a friend who always told me that to guard myself again, and then he would say like, put your fists up and just do the old boxer
nice.
Thing.
Okay, good.
And so every time she would look over and do that, I just 5 years old, like, you can't touch this, sir.
That's
like,
funny. I wonder if that works with COVID.
Haven't tried.
There used to be like a little song or a jingle with a cootie shot.
There was a game, the cootie game.
It was circle, circle, dot. Now you got your cootie shot.
I've never heard that. I might not have gotten my cootie
you
shot.
You definitely didn't. Circle, circle, dot,
you just
dot.
Make,
now
like,
you have your cootie
with
shot.
With your finger, you just make a circle and a circle and then a dot. And now you get your cootie shot.
Yeah. So congratulations.
Oh, I just got mine.
Oh, good. You got vaccinated. Once again, circle, circle, dot, dot. Now you got your COVID shot. Like, that's what you start that rumor online.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We
that
should.
Would,
oh
that
my gosh.
Would light
and then we make it look
up.
Like Biden is behind the presidential. We will be giving out official COVID
circle, circle,
shots.
Dot, dot.
Now, recite after me.
It's free.
Circle, circle.
Oh, that's so good. I think one of the funniest memories was one that I don't even remember. My mom tells me about it, was being at the church at the Alamo. We stopped by for a family visit, and they had all these candles, like novena candles up for religious stuff. They had them all up there. Mm-hmm. And apparently my mom just heard the lady who worked there going, no, no, little boy, no, no.
Oh.
And I was over there singing happy birthday and blowing out all the candles.
How old were you?
Like three. Like, I don't even remember it, but it's funny back then.
Yeah, that is funny. All this religious stuff, and you're just like, happy birthday.
I know, exactly. It made sense, you know?
It does. It makes sense. And also, your mother gave you much more leeway than you deserved.
Well, on that same trip,
she should have put you on a leash.
Dude, it's funny you mentioned that. This is before they had kid leashes and stuff like that. Okay, so that was another trip, too. I was banging on some, like, thousand-year-old chair and another trip. So my dad went to the truck, got a piece of rope and tied it between my little suspenders and had me leashed like that so I couldn't get away. Another dad saw it and was like, that is ingenious. Do you have any more rope? Now like they put leashes with backpacks on kids all the time. My dad was ahead of the curve. Huh. He should have marketed that, man.
Yeah, he really should.
I'm like that Stewart kid strapped to the play gym on SNL or whatever.
Yes. You're the devil. So good.
All right. That was dramatic.
Wow.
But I think that's going to do it for your aftercast.
Hey, that's right. And if you're listening to this today or maybe later on, I'm not sure, we are doing a Facebook Live. And so that's happening today at 11:30 Central Time.
So you're probably not going to catch it live.
Unless you listen within the next
But you can go back and watch it if you follow us on Facebook.
Yep.
We are going to do a sip and gag? No, sip and
taste.
No, that's
what will happen. Sip and sing.
Sip and sing. That's it. So we had to finish song lyrics to songs. And if we get them wrong, we have to sip on something.
I hope
really
they're
bad.
Christian songs because I'll do better than you will do. Because you don't pay attention a lot.
Well, that's true. But also I can be very confident believing that I do have the right lyrics find out later. Like, for instance, there's a song by Shepherd and it's called Geronimo. And for the longest time, I could have sworn they were saying, hey, what you running for?
Yeah.
Hey, what
Geronimo.
You running for? Hey, what you running for?
Hey, Geronimo.
What you running for?
Wow.
Yeah.
Not even really close.
I know.
All right. Well, we'll see how that goes. Hopefully, it won't be
what
too bad.
What if one of them is hot sauce?
You're my hot sauce.
Or
you're my
sardine
hot sauce.
Juice.
Ghost pepper.
Pickle
juice. I thought you meant the song from 90 Day Fiancé. Ghost pepper, but my mouth off.
No, I'm talking about the things we could drink. Like pickle juice or sardine juice.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm gonna, I hope they have a bucket because it'll make me throw up.
It's nice that they asked you guys.
I know. I wish I was just watching this one.
Tell Gavin he has to step in.
No. My consigliere.
No.
All right, that's going to do it for your aftercast. Thanks for being a potty.